Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't hear no adults, you know, giving God that. From the lips of babes, the Bible says, you know, God will receive the most honest and cleanest and purest praise. Amen. Some of us adults, we say hallelujah because that's what's going on in the church. We say hallelujah. You know, I was listening to a message one and the church got so used to, you know, those vocal church. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Everybody has been shouting, and the preacher went on and he began to preach, you know, and God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Amen. And he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And Mary had a little lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And his fleece was white as snow. Praise the name of Jesus. They never heard what he was saying. But that baby, that child heard. Amen? And says, hallelujah. That makes the evening, the morning, all so good. Amen. You know, throughout the course of this month, we'll take a journey into God's ultimate purpose. You know, Pastor just gave Landon Nugget, and I said to you, Pastor, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but the Spirit of God that is above. Because we've heard so many, we got so used to the story. Well, I'm going to get the story out of you, out of the way today. Amen? I usually give this story on Christmas Day. But, you know, our time on this earth is short before the coming of the Lord. There is much to do. There is a great purpose why God gave us his life and nature, his power and his authority, why he called us and placed us into a position of a success and prosperity, why he gave us what he needed to do for us so that we can be successful in everything we do. The time today that we live in, you know, coming, I couldn't even come to Bible study on Wednesday because the fire. It's all over the place. Communities are burning down now. Earthquake just reported right here in Los Angeles, rather. Did anybody know about the earthquake? You guys are living too good. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's good. It's good not even to notice that there was an earthquake. We got so used to earthquakes here that we're in a restaurant and the ground begins to tremble. We lift up our drink just so we don't spill the drink. Earthquake stop. We put it back down and start chow down on the chicken leg. We got used to it. Amen. You know, diseases and pestilence is on the increase. You know, a virus, a disease that was long thought has been eradicated, is now making it seen back. Smallpox. Have you heard about smallpox? You know, these diseases are not supposed to be here right now, but they're coming back. Brothers and sisters in Christ, these are the signs of the time. And so when we stop to think about Jesus and the fact that God loves us so much that he wants us not to suffer these consequences of sin, that he gave his only son to die in our place. And this, my brothers and sisters, is how Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the account. And that's what I'm going to read today. And from there we will escalate into some very special reason why God loves us so much. Do you know the very account of Jesus says a lot? That there is no room in the inn. Today, there are many who live on the face of this earth. There are many who profess to be Christians who have no room for Jesus. It continues. I thought it was done away with in Bethlehem after the baby was born. Then there would no not be a need for room, but even more so today, there is a need for room. We got to make room for Jesus. See, these are the things we are going to learn. And even more so than that, how God's love has overcome all of this shortcoming. Let's go in a word of prayer. Oh, precious Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for the wonderful privilege that we have to come into this place of worship, to give you praise and honor and glory. For you, O Lord, is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. You are God, and there is no other God but you. We worship you alone. We lift you up, you alone, O Lord, for you are indeed our Lord, our Savior, our King. You are our salvation. And as we read about your account, the account of your birth, we are ever so grateful that you've come into this world to teach us how to live in eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Would you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 2, and we begin to read from verse, hallelujah, 1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, praise the name of Jesus. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and came to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then shepherd called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go! Search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. You know, as we read this story, we know we already discerned Herod's frame of mind. There is only going to be one king in this land, according to Herod, and that king is me. This place is too small for two head kings. So, Let me know where he is so that I too can go and worship him. You know, so many times the world is filled with this kind of mentality. They show one face. Let me go and worship. But the agenda is always not so pure. Sometimes the agenda is self-centered. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God wants us that when we worship him how? In spirit and in truth. We worship him because we know what the word of God says is true. And we worship him because our born again spirit is in line with scriptures and is in accordance to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We worship him because our mind has agreed that what God has done on the inside of us is true and right and righteous. Amen? We worship him with a genuine heart. But here we see that Herod wanted to worship him. And in fact, as the account will show, that is not the case. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, those they are the Magi's, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it arose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was born. Was. And they saw the star, and they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. When they had opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. I love what the scripture says here. And they had opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is what man thought was the best gift that they could give a child king. Things that men perceive to be valuable. But you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible tells us that our Father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. The God that we serve does not have a need for money. He don't have a need for gold or silver. He owns it all. He does not have a need for your skills. He gave it to you. Or your talent. He gave it to you. Or whatever gift you have, whether it's a voice or musical instruments or dancing, God gave these things to you. It's like me giving my wife a gift and she owns all the money. It's difficult for me. So one of the best gifts, are you laughing at Sister Tanya? It's true, sister. Yes, hallelujah. That's why it's so difficult for a husband to buy a gift for their wives. Hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. But tell you what, God wants a special gift. The gift that he treasures most from us is not material stuff. It is our faithfulness. It is our loyalty. It is our decision to be available. It is our practice of his word. It is our seeking his righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Seeking everything concerning him. God looks at the heart of his children, and he is looking for that special gift, dedication. The fruit of the Spirit should be flowing out of our spirit, out of our soulish realm. The word of God should be proceeding from our mouths, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is the treasure that God wants of us. We see in the story, these Magi's can only think of things from the physical perspective. But praise the Lord, here at Miracle of Faith, you've learned to think in your concerning your relationship with God from a spiritual perspective. God wants your obedience. Hallelujah. This is the kind of gift that we bring to God for his birthday. You know, in the physical world, our children, it's their birthday. We bring gifts. And the gifts are always material things. But the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the gift that we, he already tells us what he wants. He says, if you love me, obey my commands. Walk by my word. Live according to my word. And the beautiful thing about this birthday boy, or man, or God, whichever you want to say, he is not upset about it. When you bring him these kinds of gifts, he gives him the opportunity to lavish you with his love, which he does anyway, whether you don't bring it or not. He gives you the opportunity to open doors that you can step through that will go beyond your wildest imagination. He says, my mind towards you is not one of evil. It is not one to harm you, but one to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Brothers and sisters, what I've learned about these Magi, they came to worship God because they appreciated who he was. They came all the way from the east, and they traveled a long distance by way of a sign that God has provided according to the scriptures. And when they have reached the destination, they worship him by presenting him with the most valuable thing in their possessions. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is in a position to give God the greatest gift ever known to man. It is our heart. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you willing to do so? Well, when they did this, God began to move in their lives. And it says, don't go back to Herod. Go another route back to your home. You see, the Bible tells us that he is going to direct your path when you seek him first. When you acknowledge him in accordance to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you want your path to be directed by the Lord, he says, the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man, the steps of a man who follows the word of God, who live according to his principles, the steps of a man whose intention is to give God glory in every aspect of their lives, he says those steps are ordered by the Lord. They trust him. They trust him at his word. When things doesn't seem to be going right, indeed it is right. Because God is ordering the steps. You know, the Bible tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end thereof it is a ways of destruction. We lean not on our own understanding, but we lean on what God has to say. And he told these Magi to go back to their country by way of a different route. Now, things are shaping up in this account. Because you would turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And we read from verse 26. Hallelujah. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angels went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. I love this. I love it because immediately as we read the account, it's not just a story to us. It is something that we experience today. Who in this room is blessed and highly favored? Who believe they're blessed and highly favored? You see, I've seen folks who walk around with a shirt. My wife has one. Praise the Lord. She understood what it meant. But people walk around with blessed and highly favored. And I don't know if they really understood what that really means. Mary was blessed and highly favored. The Lord is with you. Jesus told his disciples, he says that the Lord is with you and he shall be in you. In other words, we are so blessed, we are so highly favored that God himself comes to live on the inside of us. You are blessed and highly favored because God operates in and through you. The life of God is your life. The nature of God is your nature. The power of God is available to you in every step of your day. Hallelujah. All that Christ has done, all that he has accomplished is yours for the taking. Is yours for the using. Is yours for the experience of God. You are blessed and highly favored. If God is for you, who can be against you? And he is indeed for you. God says, I will never leave you, nor if I would ever forsake you. He said that I will be with you even to the end of the age. We are blessed and highly favored. You see, I believe that we are even more blessed than Mary herself. Mary was a vessel used to bring forth the Son of God into this physical world. To bring forth the Word into the physical world. We are vessels, hallelujah, who are used to take that Word into the world that does not know him. We are vessels who live the experience of that Word on the inside of us. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. You know what the Bible says about that Word that is on the inside of you? It says the Word of God is the power of God to salvation for all who will believe. Say, I have the power of God within me. Well, you are blessed and highly favored. You are blessed. You know, when a man or a woman can say, I have the power of God on the inside of me, that woman, that man, that child of a living God is blessed and highly favored. Oh, gosh. When you read this account and you come across this, it says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You stop reading. And you lay back in your lazy boy couch. Or you just lay back in your bed. Or as you drive, don't let your mind wander too far away off the traffic. But the Lord is going to tell you how to do that. You reminisce. And you praise God. And you worship him in spirit and in truth. Because you are blessed and highly favored. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's continue in verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. I love this. I tell you, every time I read, I just rejoice in my spirit. I rejoice in my soul. You know, there are times when we are troubled because we can't see the end. You know us human beings? we got to travel somewhere, and we need to see the beginning, and we need to see the end, and we need to see all that is within for us to feel confident. And when we don't, we are troubled. You know, I was troubled this morning. And I praise the Lord that he has taught me something. You see, there was a mail truck in front of me. And I said to my wife, I hate it when I can't see what's ahead. Bumper to bumper, 1 mile an hour, and this big truck, I can't get enough information. So I turned down the first street, and I found out more traffic jammed. You know, my wife, she is such a wonderful lady. She did not. It says, I told you so. She's told me that sometimes, or she has gotten used to it. I'm not going to tell him so anymore. I'm going to just let him learn the hard way. Some of us needs to learn the hard way. Amen? And she says, according to the GPS, this is the fastest route, remain on the freeway. They said that because they have an overview of everything that was going on. And so when she went back into the GPS, it says, turn left. She says, you know what it's doing? It's sending you back to the freeway. Immediately my mind says, I'm beginning to think of another route. But I humbled myself because I recognize that the GPS has an overview. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know we have the best GPS in our own heart, living on the inside of us? He has an overview. The Bible says he is the past, and he is the present, and he is the future. He has been there. We need to lean not on our own understanding or on our own strength, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Amen. And so he says, do not be afraid. Hallelujah. For you found favor with the Lord. Well, he says, verse 31. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Oh, I love, you know, pastor always use a term. He says that which was inside of you is ready to be birthed out of you. And you know what's on the inside of you? It is the word of God. And whenever you open your mouth, you're giving birth to the word of God. You know, there's a saying that says, a thought is a silent word. A word is a manifested thought. When the word of God lives on the inside of you, you speak it. It is manifested. In the manifestation of God's word does what it is designed to do. You see, what the scripture says is that the word of God will not return to him void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which he have sent it. It will be successful in the thing that he have said it. All we need to do is to give birth to that word. We don't need to fear if we don't understand, because we have favor with God. And so, because we have the word of God that will not return to him void, we should not be having a fear of that word returning to God void. It is not us. It is God who gets the glory. You see, when you have that kind of fear, it's because you says, gosh, if I speak this word, I'm not going to get the glory if they don't accept it. I'm going to feel a little bit ashamed. I'm going to feel a little bit rejected. And you know what that is? That is us wanting to get the glory. We don't want to speak it, because if people reject us, if people laughed at us, if people scoffed at us, we are not going to get the glory. So we keep quiet. When we refuse to talk about ourselves as God's children, when we refuse to pronounce the word of God when the opportunity lies, when we are afraid to preach the gospel to our family members and friends, it's because we wanted the glory. We want that when we preach, they say yes. We want them to be, all their minds and their eyes and everything to be focused on us. Because if that doesn't happen, if contrary happen, we feel rejected. But you see, God is the one who gets the glory. And when God gets the glory, when your determination is that God gets the glory, the fear of proclaiming his word will be gone. Because the word of God says, it will not return to him void. If God is the one who gets the glory and the word of God will not return to him void, what makes me so reluctant to speak it? Self-centeredness, that is. So the beauty about this account, it teaches us that God is supposed to be the focal point. The account itself says that Jesus is the focal point. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him, the Son of God, that is, will not perish. But that's not the focal point. Having eternal life. And Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that you may know God, that you may know the true God, and him whom he has sent. That you may have the kind of intimacy with God. And that intimacy that you have with God will produce, hallelujah, the mind of God concerning you. My mind towards you, says the Lord God Almighty, is not one to harm you. You won't receive any harm. Is not one of evil. Don't ever say that God have cast evil on you. That's not his mindset. But one to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Oh, this is so awesome. Well, he will be great. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. You know, she wants to know. She knows the physical limitations. You don't have a man. You can't get pregnant. You've never had intercourse. There's no possibility you getting pregnant. Maybe today that might have changed with technology. But it wasn't then, back then. And some of us today have our good excuses. Well, I'll tell you, how can this happen, Lord? My hip is out of place. My knees are weak. I'm old. I don't have that kind of energy. You know, leave that to the younger folks. But then the younger folks thinks that they're missing out on life. How wrong could we get it? Mary had her questions just like we have her questions. But I love the way she came to her senses. More so, her love compels her to respond the right way. Let's see how she responded. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most God will overshadow you. And the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of God will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is already on you, my brothers and sisters. It says that we have eternal life. We have the anointing of God. He is already on you. He is in you. Hallelujah. All you need to do is step up and do what God has asked you to do. Amen? Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. You folks who complained about being old, here you go. All things are possible with God. And she who was to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. God is already ahead of the game. I want to say something, brothers and sisters in Christ. When we leave this building today, God is already ahead of the game. He is in many steps before you. You have not seen it. You haven't recognized it. But if you would only do what he says, you will realize it. You will experience it. You see, some of us wonders, why is my finances so troubled? God has already made provision. Provision is already provided. But because we can't see it, because we can't see the one who is going to give in the physical realm, we become our own hindrance to our prayers. We become our own hindrance to our blessings. You see, faith calls for those things that calls on you to trust God and take him at his word. If he says that you are healed, faith calls for you to believe that you are healed, even if you see or feel or experience anything on the contrary. For you to experience the manifestation of God's healing, you need to have faith. It is the key, and it is more than faith. You need to have corresponding action with that faith. Because without works, faith is dead. You see, the Word of God teaches us how to walk in the Lord, and even the things that we do not expect, even the things that we cannot see, even the things that we can't fathom, will be made, hallelujah, possible in our lives. As we begin to continue to read this here, Mary did not understand how it was possible for her to be pregnant when she knew not a man. And she says that. And God's and the angel brought the message from the Lord that says, the Spirit of God will come upon you. Praise the Lord. The day of Pentecost has already occurred. Praise God. The Spirit of God is upon, not only with, but in the child of the living God. Praise God. All the power that Jesus has used to raise Lazarus from the dead. All the power he uses to raise, to open the blind eyes or to make the lame walk. Or the deaf to hear. All that power, the same power that God used to raise his son from the dead, that is spiritual death, there is. That power lives on the inside of you and is at your disposal. The key to using that power is faith. It is faith. Jesus says when you pray, he says, believe that you have received. And that which you ask is yours. He says, when you ask the Father for anything, ask him in my name. And he will give you what you ask. Asking in the name of Jesus is not just a phrase. It has come to a point where many Christians believe, oh, well, we need to say it's in the name of Jesus at the end of the prayer. But that is not, those are just words. Asking in the name of Jesus is because you are living in the name of Jesus. It's because you are living according to the word of God. It's because you are following the principles and precepts of God. Asking in the name of Jesus is a statement that says, Lord, I believe in you. And I am walking in you. And I am allowing you to lead me. Lord, despite or in spite of what's going on around me, if you says it is so, I believe it is so. Because Mary made that statement in this account. She did not know how it was possible. And in verse 38, here is what Mary says. I am the Lord's servant. See, she knows who she are. He says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Be it unto me as you say. So be it, Lord. Why so be it? Because it is your word. God sees the big picture. If I knew the principle, I would have stayed on the freeway. But I have to be self-centered. I have to be my own man. All we like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. And because God saw that, he sent his only son. So that we can have a way. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This is a soul-changing information. And it is not outdated. You see, I've heard it before. I've heard many preachers preach it before. You know, there are many things I have heard before. But it does nothing to me unless I activated what I heard. There are Christians who have been in the church for many years, 30, 40 years. And then suddenly, they say the light bulb went on. Have you ever heard that expression? The light bulb went on. It means that even though they heard the word, they were in darkness because they would not accept it for what it is. They still had a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. They could not get over the hump that if it seems impossible, I can trust it. I have to know it's possible. I have to feel that this is possible. I have to see that it is possible. I have to hear that the possibility in it. I have to be able to understand its plausibility. I have to before I will believe it. But faith cries out for us to walk in the word. To the point where even if it seems impossible, because God says it, I believe it and I will act upon it. You trust God this way with your finances and you begin to see things turn around. Trust God this way with your health and you begin to see healing even in your own body. You know, you could have a condition for a long, long time. And when you begin to trust God, that condition changes. It begins to change because the word is being activated by your faith. You don't know how it's going to happen. According to the doctor, this is the end of the line. Who made them God? You see, trust in the Lord in all your ways. In all your ways, trust in the Lord. Amen. So Mary trusted what the Lord says, and she said, so be it. You see, Mary would have been like all of us. If her faith in the Lord was not so great, she would have been like all of us, because let me tell you what's going to happen. If this news have come to one of you ladies, and I'm going to tell you, because I know what I would be thinking if I was your husband. Because you come to me and says, honey, I'm pregnant. And I can't remember a day when we did what we needed to do. You're pregnant. And then you're going to use God did it. It's not going to work for me. You see? It did not work for Joseph. Mary was pregnant. It did not work for her relatives. Because in those days, to be pregnant out of wedlock is such a serious crime that it is a pronunciation of death by stoning. And so Mary had to tell Joseph she was pregnant. And so we probably the women of today would be thinking, if I told him I'm pregnant, he won't believe me. And if it is a crime to be pregnant out of wedlock, I probably will go to prison. I could lose my life. No, that's a serious, serious contemplation. But that's what it takes to trust God. Even in the face of adversity, persecution, ridicule, trust God. Trust God. Because you are blessed and highly favored. Trust God. Because he will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust God. Amen? I praise the Lord for the account so far. God has given us a lot to thank him about. That even in things that seems impossible for this season, from this day forward, watch the doors open. You know, the little simple little things, like wanting a phone. You see? Little simple things, like wanting a phone. Little simple things, like wanting a phone, because yours fell in the water. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Well, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord told me I could use it. Throw a little hint out there. Yes. Sorry. Give the Lord a hand, amen. The Bible tells us this. It says that when you trust the Lord, it says that blessings will come in many different ways. He says, your cup will be filled, running over. He says it will be pressed down because they want to fill as much as possible into that cup that you have. It means it's more than enough you will get when it's pressed down. You see? When I go buy ice cream, I want to see them pack it down. You know, don't come just put it right at the top. You know, put a little pressure on it there. You see? I remember when I was a young boy and I would go buy a Fresco. You remember, know what Fresco is? That guy can't just drop it in the cup. No, no, my friend. Shave, press down. Shave again, press down. Shave again, but the cup is going to break. No, press down. You know, it's over the top, press it down. Because more you get, you know what I'm saying? You get more when it's pressed down. That's what God promises us. And I love the last part. Shall man give into your bosom? It means people. Amen? Hallelujah. See, sometimes the Lord knows exactly what's going on with us. You know, we could throw a little one in there every now and then because his word says so. Yes, hallelujah. Praise the name. Give the Lord a hand again. I love that. Let's all stand.